In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. This was the verse that unlocked Dr. Thomas Horne's end times vision of the arrival of Apophis. Watch this.
Hidden deep within ancient scriptures, it is written that in the beginning, the ultimate agent of chaos was already restrained by the Creator. As creation flourished, this force of destruction remained subdued, waiting for his time of freedom. Humanity kept record of this malevolent spirit in order to warn future generations. These ancient prophecies foretell a messenger will precede the release of the great evil, known to the Hebrews as Leviathan, but to the Egyptians as Apophis.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. Today we continue our special investigative series on the exciting new groundbreaking documentary film by Josh Peck called Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand. Our guest today died and went to heaven, whereupon he had a silver scroll opened in front of him, revealing a series of events that would unfold in the future. It wasn't until years later that they started to come true. But before we get into today's discussion, watch this.
To this day, I'm very glad that God allowed my wife, Nita, to find me dead. Otherwise, it would be difficult for some religious people to believe my account. Many years ago, I died, and I woke up in heaven. Contemplating my surroundings, I wondered where I was, where I had come from, and why I had no memories of getting here, wherever here was. At that moment, before it was shortly confirmed, I knew this was no dream. It was too vivid to be anything less than real. In fact, it felt realer than any previous reality I had known. Abruptly, I found myself standing somewhere before a spectacular pillar of light, or was it a throne? It was so bright, so intense, so penetrating, glistening with vibrant streams of silver, blue, and gold, emanating with the most unexplainable yet awe-inspiring presence that I could hardly keep my eyes open or my face toward the radiance. And I was exclaiming something and didn't know why I was saying it. I was saying, please, Lord, don't let me forget. Please don't let me forget. But I had known something about the future. I had seen it, and then I had been told I would not recollect the details. Something else had happened, too. Somehow I knew that a scroll of some kind had been unrolled before me with scenes of a future, my future, playing out on what looked like a silvery parchment, as believable as if I were watching a movie with rich depictions of a destiny or a possible future where something extraordinary and miraculous was taking place, a cinematic conveyance of a personal fate, and then for some reason had departed my intellect. Had a revelation of some type been sealed inside me? I started to repeat, Lord, please don't let me forget. Then a deep, still, small voice countered, you will not remember, and it is time for you to go back now. Then I heard a thunderclap, and I found myself falling backward, drifting swiftly As I fell, I gazed unblinkingly upward in amazement. The brilliance that had just been in front of me was moving rapidly away into the distance, and yet I wasn't afraid. A moment later, I watched as the oddest thing happened. The roof of my house literally enveloped me as I passed effortlessly through it. And then it felt as if I had landed on my bedroom mattress with a thud. I sat straight up, took a desperate, shuddering, deep inhalation, and slowly let it out, realizing that something extraordinary had occurred. Now, it was the middle of the night, and I sat there for a few seconds, possibly in shock, trying to determine what had happened. I could feel my chest burning. Then I heard something, sobbing, right next to me, my beautiful young wife, Nita. She looked as if she had been crying desperately. "Nita," I said softly, "what's going on? Why are you crying?" It took her a few moments to collect herself, but once she did, she tearfully described how she had awakened to find me dead. I had remained in that condition for approximately 15 minutes while she had screamed for me to wake up, pounded on my chest, and attempted CPR. We didn't have a phone in those days and no close neighbors, and since it was in the middle of the night, Nita had been unsure of what to do. She was about to try pulling me outside of the car to take me to the hospital when I jerked up, took in a deep breath, and looked at her. No matter how incredible this narrative seems, it really did happen to me a long time ago. I prayed daily, seeking understanding, and during that period, I happened to be reading the Bible from cover to cover for the first time in my life, and I had made it to the oldest book of the Bible, Job, when one day my eyes suddenly fell upon Job 33:15-17, quote, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and sealeth their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man." Though I was a very young and inexperienced believer, I clearly understood what this text was saying to me. I was not to remember these details ahead of time, otherwise I might be drawn away into my own purpose, as the text says, and lifted up in pride, according to this passage in Job. In other words, if as a young believer I had seen the ministries that God would later allow Nita and I to participate in, from pastoring large churches to owning a Christian publishing house and syndicated television ministry to speaking at major conferences to becoming a best-selling author, or any of the other opportunities he would give us permission to be associated with, I very likely would have made two huge mistakes. First, I would have immediately aimed at those later ministries and started working to try to make them happen, all without the benefit of the struggles, trials, setbacks, side roads, and experiences that are necessary for seasoning and hopefully qualifying one to eventually operate in them. Thus, God withdrew me from my purpose. Second, I would have been tempted by pride to think of myself as more than I should have as a young man if I had seen myself ending up in high-profile ministries. So God, in his benevolence and wisdom, hid pride from me by keeping the revelations sealed until the appropriate times. The book of John 6:63 refers to the Holy Spirit as the one that quickens. This is the Greek zoupoio, which means to cause to live or to make alive at that moment. Now, I'm not sure how this experience plays out for others, but several times in my life, and at times completely unexpected, always at night when I am asleep, I have been jolted from bed with an extraordinary glimpse that I believe in that moment is taken from the original storyboard that God gave me years ago, and about which I begged him not to let me forget. One time, for example, I was shaken from sleep by a very powerful and detailed list of things that would happen in the former religious institution in which I had been an executive. I jumped out of bed, wrote down the vision as I seen it, including names of people who would be involved, exactly what they would do, and how it would greatly damage the ministry if the district leaders did not intervene. They didn't, and it did. Then I sent that detailed letter to the state superintendent, plus gave copies to my son, Joe Artis, my wife, Nita, and my daughters. And within 3 years, everything played out exactly as I had seen it, down to the smallest details. In fact, my vision was so precise that it shook Joe up, causing him to come to me after the fact to express his amazement as to how it could have been possible for me to foresee such comprehensive events that accurately. Another quickening that came to me in the middle of the night, and one that much of the world knows about now, involves how I was able to precisely predict the historic resignation of Pope Benedict XVI in the best-selling book Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope Is Here, as well as on television and radio more than a year in advance of that resignation. In 2010, I was again rattled from sleep, instantly convinced that Pope Benedict was going to step down. I even knew when, April of 2012, and I even knew that he would do so, citing health reasons, as a cover for his abdication. I went on television and radio, and quite frankly, out on a limb, in 2010 and 11, as the book Petrus Romanus was being written and rushed through editing, typesetting, and print so that it could be in stores before the anticipated resignation of the Pope. We even wrote specifically on page 470, for those of you that have that book, that the Pope would step down in April of 2012. As the year 2012 came and went, and neither Pope Benedict nor the Vatican made any announcement that he had or was stepping down, I thought that perhaps for the first time since I had woke up in heaven years earlier, the sealed Job-like instructions mechanism either had not worked or I had been mistaken. And yet as the months passed, I somehow remained convinced that I had seen the vision correctly. I would email friends and say, it's not over till it's over, while at the same time saying to myself, what are you talking about? Benedict is still the Pope. But then something happened that the world knows about now. On February 28, 2013, at 8 o'clock p.m., the resignation of Benedict was announced by the Vatican, and they immediately gave the New York Times an interview in which they made the astonishing admission. Pope Benedict had secretly and officially resigned to select members of the Curia, the Roman government, in April 2012, just as I had said he would. Now, this was immediately confirmed by Giovanni Maria Vian, the editor of the official Vatican newspaper, the El Osservatore Romano, who wrote that the Pope's decision had been taken many months ago, they said, after his trip to Mexico and Cuba ended in March 2012, and had been kept with reserve that no one could violate. In other words, it was to remain top secret and was to be known only to a handful of trusted Vatican cardinals until preparations for Benedict's housing and the public announcement was ready. Now, since no pope had resigned in nearly 600 years, and everybody had been saying I was crazy because popes do not resign, they said, they die in office, this revelation was astounding, and media everywhere went crazy. My office phone didn't stop ringing for weeks with top media from around the world, including from Rome, wanting to interview me to ask who my insider at the Vatican was. Even fake news CNN begged me to come on their program, which I declined. The History Channel pleaded with me to participate in a special series, which I also declined. But why am I talking about this now? Is it so I can pat myself on the back and brag about how accurate my prediction was? Not at all. I'm raising this issue because early in 2019, the phenomenon happened again. And this quickening was the most vivid and terrifying of all such ecstasis yet.
We're in studio today with the producers of the highly anticipated new documentary, Ragnarok. But before we discuss the film, we want to show you how you can get your copy of this groundbreaking documentary right now.
There exists an ancient prophecy about a great burning mountain that falls from the sky, bringing devastation to the world. And the signs of its coming have now appeared. Skywatch TV is proud to present the Ragnarok Blockbuster Bundle. When you order Josh Peck's new documentary film, Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the never-before-seen exclusive DVD content, Ragnarok, Destruction Unveiled, and Ragnarok, Mountains of Judgment. In the new documentary film, Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand, visionary filmmaker Josh Peck takes you on a journey through the ancient prophecy from the Book of Revelation about a burning mountain that falls from the sky, bringing devastation to the world, and what scientists and NASA have to say about it. In this explosive documentary film, you will learn how the Wormwood Prophecy connects to our modern age, whether the coming asteroid Apophis could be the harbinger of destruction, the science, history, and prophecies surrounding asteroid impact, Dr. Thomas Horn's full end times vision of destruction, what NASA is saying about Apophis, and what we can do about this threat. You'll also receive the behind-the-scenes interview, Ragnarok, Destruction Unveiled, where Skywatch TV's own Drew Graffia sits down with visionary filmmaker Josh Peck to talk about his filmmaking process, what goes into a project of this magnitude, what his initial reaction to Dr. Thomas Horn's end times vision was, and what it is like to handle such apocalyptic material. But that's not all. We're also including the never-before-seen content entitled Ragnarok, Mountains of Judgment, where you will take a deep dive into the prophecy and science behind asteroids and how this relates to the coming space rock named after the Egyptian god of chaos, Apophis. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So uncover the prophecies of destruction and learn the mysteries of the last days. This collection is available only through Skywatch TV. So don't delay. The Ragnarok Blockbuster Bundle. Available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
The film is called Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand. Thank you again for joining me this week, gentlemen, to continue this discussion on the new film Ragnarok. Tom, I want to start with you right away. The clip cut off just before you were able to reveal the most terrifying thing that happened to you. Can you give us a brief rundown of your third vision? And I know we don't have time for the whole thing.
As some of our viewers may already know, this is an experience that I had years ago where I did physically die. God allowed my wife to find me dead. I was dead for a while. And in fact, 15 minutes or so maybe, which should have resulted in brain damage. Some people believe that it probably did. Right? But anyway, that night, the night that I died, I was shown something. We go into it in the film. talking about how I died, when I died. Some of the other stuff, by the way, that I saw in that vision that was brought back to me years later.
Right.
For instance, Pope Benedict XVI is going to resign. Even giving the date of April, we published it in a book called Petrus Romanus a year before the event. And so when he did resign, literally on the day that I had said that he was going to, my phone's lighting up, everybody everywhere, even media from Rome calling me, wanting to know who my insider at the Vatican was.
Right.
Joe, you maybe in a moment might want to say something about a letter that I had written to the district office of the Assemblies of God
in Oregon. Well, as your son, I can totally attest to part of this vision that you received years and years and years ago, when you left your resignation letter with the district, we resigned, there were details that you didn't put in the film. And I actually, watching Ragnarok myself, was waiting for some of the more profound parts of that original vision that you wrote in a letter and submitted to the district when you resigned. And you chose not to include them. And I asked you about it later, and I understand and I agree. These were things that were too sensitive and too private.
Mm-hmm.
These were matters that involved life and death, having to do with families, that you literally wrote, XYZ will happen if you folks don't understand the landscape of what is getting ready to unfold. They ignored you. They thought you were nuts. And unfortunately, we were devastated a year later to actually, well, very private circumstances. But as your son, I'm just telling you, there were even more profound pieces to that original prophetic letter that you wrote to the district that were just too sensitive to share
catastrophic,
in a format like a DVD.
Catastrophic events that could not have been machined, couldn't have been known, except that it was just something that God revealed to me. Now, why did he reveal that to me? Maybe to establish the credibility of these visions. I'm not exactly sure. But it's God's business and not mine. It's mine to only say what I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
The most famous one, of course, is the one about Pope Benedict's going to retire, and I chose the year and the month, and it came to pass. And then people started listening. Well, wait a minute. Has this happened before? Has it happened since?
Right.
But I don't have any control of it at all. So, you know, here I am. It's April of 2019. I go to bed. I'm not expecting anything at all. And this is how this always happens anyway. And the next thing I know, around 2 o'clock in the morning, I go back into this very vivid vision. I've tried to explain this to people, but when I go there, it's more real than this. This all, when I come back, this always feels like I've got like scales or something over my eyes. Like Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly. It's as if I'm not as clear anymore.
Uh-huh.
That is extraordinarily vivid. So here I am, I go to sleep, and the next thing I know, I'm looking up into the heavens. And what looks like a giant dragon moving kind of back and forth like this is swimming through the heavens, traveling towards the earth at a phenomenal rate. There's more details in the film, but then I'm up above the object, and I can see that it's not a dragon at all. It's a giant space rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it is turning as it's moving through space and the way the light of the sun is shining on the contours of this rock, it gives it the impression that it's like undulating through space like a living thing. Fast forward. Now I'm back on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing on a small, on a hill or a small mountain somewhere. And I'm running, and there's thousands of us, and we're running, and I can hear people all around me screaming for God to deliver them from whatever this menace is that is racing towards the earth. Right after that, somehow I know that an asteroid has impacted the Pacific Ocean. I hear a thunderous sound behind me. And as I'm looking back over my shoulder, I'm running too, all of a sudden I see a giant wall of water. It looks like the whole ocean. It's a giant tsunami that is coming up over this hill behind us, racing towards us. And I know that none of us are going to be able to escape this wall of water. But then it's almost as if two large hands go down underneath my arms, lift me up into the air, and now I'm looking down on the earth, and I could see all of this mayhem that is going on the planet. The tsunamis, hurricanes are breaking out, volcanoes are being activated by the impact of this giant space rock, and people are being swept away into the ocean everywhere. It's like the most terrifying thing you've ever seen in your life. When I woke up, I almost fell out of bed, and I reached for pen and paper so that I could write down what it was that I had saw. But then, and again, this might have only been in my head, but it felt real to me,
mm-hmm.
as if a voice spoke across the room and uttered one word, and that was the word, apophis. I knew that Apophis was an ancient Egyptian chaos dragon, the enemy of light. Mm-hmm. And I also knew that NASA had named an asteroid Apophis, but that was all I knew about it. I didn't know anything else. But that's what launched an over 1 year investigation into what was going on. Is this the wormwood stone talked about in the book of Revelation that is racing towards the earth? And over time, we came to conclude a lot of stuff talking to government scientists.
Right.
Now we have two scientists, one of them from CERN.
Yeah.
The famous Large Hadron Collider. Mm-hmm. It's actually the biggest machine on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
He's in the film. So we did our due diligence, both in the writing of the books and also in the production of this documentary film, to make sure that we were having an authoritative language.
Absolutely.
Josh, the clip that we just watched of Tom from the film Ragnarok kind of left us on a big cliffhanger. And even though we've showed a lot of clips over the last few weeks, there's still a lot more that we haven't shown. What else can the audience expect to see in the movie?
That's a great question because, we do want to point out that though it seems like over the past 4 weeks they've seen a lot of the film, there's so much more that they haven't seen and so much that we can't even put on TV anyway,
it's
even if we wanted to.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So mostly what the film centers around is science, history, and prophecy, those three things. So they're going to get a lot more of that, a lot more intense, dark even, but there's a really good message at the end that I think people are really going to respond to. And if for nothing else, get the movie for that.
Yeah, it's actually quite an inspirational final scene with Gary Stearman.
Yeah.
Right? And I had to send that clip to Gary and say, Gary, man, that was fabulous.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, my reaction when I first heard about Tom's vision was not of fear of an incoming asteroid. It was actually an urgency.
Mm-hmm.
It made the return of Christ seem tangible in a way that wasn't there for me for whatever reason.
Right.
But it literally changed how I view my day-to-day life and how I act, because it just put in my mind, this could happen at 2029, but also any moment. We live in a way as if we're promised tomorrow when Proverbs specifically says we're not. So mm-hmm. It really made me realize, hey, you need to live as if he is coming today.
Well, and that was our hope. Mm-hmm. When the church sees this documentary, our hope is that they will become more aggressive in terms of their evangelistic outreach to the world. As the second coming of Christ is imminent, drawing nearer.
Right.
And by the way, this stone is going to help them because in a few years from right now, you'll be able to look up into the nighttime sky and see this thing racing toward Earth. And it made me wonder if this is not what the Bible means when it says, and then all of the world shall see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in the heavens. Mm. And it's going to freak the whole world out when they do see this. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be ironic that an asteroid heralded the first coming of Jesus Christ? The Magi saw an asteroid and saw that as a sign that a king was being born out of Bethlehem, right? Now, wouldn't it be amazing that if an asteroid also heralds the second coming mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be just like God to do that?
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
The film is Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand. Make sure you get your copy. Thanks again, gentlemen, for joining me over the last few weeks and having this discussion. I'm Joe Artis Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back next week.